Now, despite the fact that I am sick this morning, I've come here to tell you this. Are you ready? The light, and the light is Jesus Christ, still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not yet, will not ever put it out. Now, just before the words that Allison read to you were spoken by Jesus, standing in the temple court, he had silenced the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but only for a moment. They were not deterred from their mission. They still believed that Jesus had to die because he threatened their position of power and because they believed he threatened the very peace of their nation. They were intent upon extinguishing the light. Now, it's kind of amazing when you start to think about it. When Jesus was here on earth, he was not physically impressive. He was, in fact, an uneducated carpenter from a nowhere village called Nazareth. And yet the most powerful people in the nation were afraid of him. Might make you suspicious a little bit when you start thinking about it. But perhaps there's more going on here under the surface of things than meets the eye. I mean, why would the nation's most powerful people be afraid of an uneducated carpenter from nowhere? And those powerful people were always at work to take Jesus out. From the time of his birth until the time when he stood before them in the temple, the things we have been reading about over these past weeks, they were determined to put out the light. But in the words of the gospel, I tell it to you again. The light, Jesus Christ, shines in the darkness. Still today he shines. And the darkness cannot, and it will not, overcome him. Now, as Jesus stood there on that day long ago, he was watching the things that were going on in the temple. His attention was drawn to the activity at the offering box or the offering chest. These were, these were literally large, large, elaborate boxes that were placed in the first court of the temple so that people who came there could come and offer their gifts to God. The passage that Allison read to us this morning says that the rich people were coming to put their gifts into these boxes. The Bible tells us in other places that folks often brought their gifts to the temple boxes with an elaborate show. It says that sometimes they blew trumpets. You know why? They wanted everybody to see what they were up to. Making their gift was not a secret. It was, in fact, a public event. These people wanted all their friends to know that they were presenting a gift unto the Lord. Now, you may have had the same experience that I've had, but sometimes I've been in churches where they actually process forward to make the offering. Sometimes it's done with great elaboration. They have a big table with wheels on it and a huge box that sits on the thing, and the offering time, they wheel it up in the front of the church, and all the people start to come down the aisle and make their gifts to the Lord. To be really honest with you, I hate it when the offering's done that way. I'd prefer the offering boxes were far away, someplace where nobody was looking, so that it did not become an issue in our worship. But in the temple, making a gift to God was never secret. The rich people who brought their gifts there that day when Jesus was watching were literally showing off as they offered their gifts. They wanted everybody to know. But in the midst of the commotion at the offering box, Jesus noticed a little old lady. Now, I kind of pictured Janet Gill, for those of you who know her. Bent over, walking on her cane. A poor widow, the Bible says. No one else apparently even saw her coming. She was, in fact, a nobody. She really didn't even want anyone to notice her. And when the time came, she made her way up to the box and she dropped in 2 pennies. Now, the Greek doesn't say pennies. I say pennies because the coins that she dropped into the box were the coins of least value in the currency exchange of that day. They are, in essence, what pennies are for us. Now, I like pennies, okay? I find them in parking lots, laying on the ground. I've actually seen people throw pennies away because they're a nuisance, people say. I've heard them talk about eliminating pennies so that we don't have to worry about carrying them around anymore. It seems that in our time, people don't like pennies. But I always remember what my grandmother said. Find a penny, pick it up. Okay, always hate it when I find one late at night. What good is it if you're going to have a good day picking up a penny and the day's over? You kind of want to leave it there and come back later. Okay, why waste good luck, right? Okay, if you get 100 of them, you know what you have? A dollar. They've got some value to them. Now, it may be hard to collect 100 of them, okay, but you keep doing it, and you'll end up with more than you think. Now, in the case before us, compared to the large gifts that the rich people were making, this widow's gift was absolutely nothing. It wasn't going to make one bit of difference to the offering that day. Her gift was nothing, but she gave it anyway. Now, I think Jesus smiled when he saw the little old lady drop in her pennies. And Jesus said to those who were standing there with him that day, he said, that poor widow has put in more, meaning more than all the others who were making an offering there that day. The others, Jesus said, gave out of their wealth. The gifts of the others, though greater in value, had in essence cost those who gave them nothing. See, they still have more. They wouldn't really even miss the big gift that they had given. And having given what they gave, there was still plenty left over for them. Out of her poverty, Jesus said, she put in all she had. The widow gave God her last 2 pennies. Though it was a small amount, it was a great gift. For after she gave it, her resources were completely depleted. There was nothing left after she gave her gift to God. Now, think about it for a moment. Ask yourself, why did Jesus raise this dear little old woman to the attention of all those who stood beside him in the temple that day, and therefore to our attention as well? What are the lessons that we should learn from this text? Let me give you some. Number one, don't be impressed with big showy gifts that are given for show. We should be careful to make sure that we give as unto the Lord. If we give our gifts to impress others with the size of our gifts, we are giving our gifts for the wrong reason. And the impression the gift makes on all of those who are watching us give it will be the only reward we receive for giving the gift. Under such circumstances as these, the gift will not impress God. Lesson number two, don't be impressed by other people's gifts. We give according to the way we have been blessed. Some of us can give large amounts to the work of the Lord because God has blessed us with large amounts. Others of us give smaller gifts to God because we have been blessed with smaller gifts. Many times when I visit with pastors, particularly in our denomination, because churches are small, they look upon Cornerstone as being a large church. And they think that because we are a large church, all of our financial concerns must be resolved. Okay, and I just love to say to them, when you get more, God expects more. And that's the truth. So sometimes the great amount that God has given us is not a blessing as we think it is, although it is a blessing. It brings with it a responsibility and a burden, and we are, in essence, supposed to give thought to all of that. Each man should give as he reasons, the scripture says in his heart, but it means in his head, as he reasons to give. He should certainly never give more to impress somebody else. And he should never, ever give more than he can afford to give on the basis of what he makes. What you give should be between you and God. What other people give has nothing to do with you. You'll forgive me, remember, I'm sick. But the gift is between that other person and God, not you, him, and them. And number three, don't ever think that God does not see. Just as Jesus saw that little woman weave her way through the crowd and make her way up to the offering box that day, just as Jesus saw her when no one else even noticed her, so God is familiar with everything you and I say and do. There is nothing about us that escapes his attention. So he knows, even now before you've done it, what you will place on the offering plate today. No need to give to impress me or anyone else. God knows your heart. And lesson number four, the truth is that all of us should give God everything. That's what the old lady did, folks. She put it all before Jesus. Jesus said, that's what she did. She gave it all. And that is the important question today. Have you laid your life down before God? Have you given him everything you are and everything you hold? Everything. Remember, he knows. So if there is some secret thing, the secret's only in your head. God knows. Can you really sing with the hymnists of old and confess that you have laid everything on the altar before God? Can you honestly repeat the words, all to him I freely give. Or is there some small part of you that you are still holding back from Him? Jesus commended that woman because she gave Him everything.